There may never be another publishing sensation quite like Harry Potter.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire goes on sale at bookstores 1 week.
This is an NPR Morning Edition spot, June 2000. The fourth Harry Potter book would drop in 7 days, right at midnight. Bookstore employees were planning pajama parties.
In the best-selling series about an orphan,
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire was a big deal. In the first week, it sold over 3 million copies. Around this time in western Arkansas, a woman named Angie Haney found out that Harry Potter was in school libraries, and in her daughter's school library. This is Cedarville, Arkansas, Crawford County, a small town about 10 miles from the Oklahoma border. Haney was a Christian. She attended the local Assemblies of God church. Her pastor had given sermons on Harry Potter. He said they encouraged witchcraft and were responsible for a generation in decline. Haney asked the Cedarville School District to remove the books.
You know, at least with the Cedarville case, people's hearts were kind of in the right place.
That's Brian Meters. He's a lawyer who represented a Cedarville fourth grader on behalf of the books. I know about this story because he wrote a book about the case. It's called Harry Potter and the Cedarville Censors. When Meters talks about people's hearts, he means that Haney's request didn't come out of meanness. She didn't target librarians. She didn't use the word pedophile. She didn't put a billboard on the side of the highway calling for someone's termination. And when, in 2003, Meters won, Haney accepted the ruling. The Harry Potter books stayed available in school libraries. Almost 20 years later, Meters got the same call. Libraries in Crawford County were again trying to restrict books that some patrons didn't like.
The cast of characters is all the same. There's the parent who wants to be all involved and like wants to have a cause. And then there's the people who are in political positions who I think operate with mixed motives. They like both want the power and they also kind of sort of agree with the principal. And like, it's just the whole thing.
This is Track One, a podcast from Little Rock Public Radio. I'm your host, Josie Lenora. You're listening to Shelved Part Two. Last time we heard the story of Patty Hector, a librarian who would not pull books off shelves saying,
"Relocating is the same as banning."
And in this episode, I want to explore that question, because at the same time Patty wouldn't remove books in her library, the Crawford County Library faced a legal crisis because they did. You're listening to Episode 2, Windows and Mirrors. This all started in late 2022. Sometime that year, a display of LGBTQ books showed up at the Crawford County Library. The display set off a kind of social fire alarm.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and call this board meeting to order.
At the next library board meeting, folks came armed with books they wanted pulled. But these books are completely unsexual. Mainly they're children's picture books with big, colorful illustrations. Books that average maybe 6 words a page. And those words form sentences like, "I'm loved for being me," and "I'm ready to smash gender norms."
All right, so the first book challenge on here is, if you're a drag queen and you know it.
A few detractors reference these books as hardcore pornography, though there is nothing explicit in the pictures. The art in If You're a Drag Queen and You Know It is of people dancing. The art in Bye Bye Binary is things like a baby having their nails painted both pink and blue. Here's library director Deirdre Grismala.
We wouldn't order pornography, and we don't order pornography. We do not have pornography in this library, so I don't.
She says the collection is designed to represent all viewpoints. So the library also has children's books on Christianity and how to pray. These first book challenges didn't make it very far. The detractors literally had trouble getting through the entirety of their speeches. The library's attorney, Gentry Wollmeyer, cut through debate.
This feels a little bit tense and awkward, so let's just talk about everything that's going on here.
He says he's actually far in the political right. But for this conversation, it doesn't matter.
First Amendment protects everybody. The rain falls on everybody the same.
The meeting is repetitive. Wollmeyer tries every variation of "we're not pulling books." Everyone is protected by the First Amendment, he explains. Words you don't like are protected under the First Amendment. The Miller test, which determines if a book is obscene, only applies to a small handful of content, stuff you would go to prison for owning. Children's picture books just don't cut it. He gets support in board member Jamie Ann Bachman.
We could say, yes, take it off the shelf, and I promise you that tomorrow somebody would come in and we would end up in the court. And here's the deal. Tying up our energies and our money in court is not beneficial to any of the children in our community.
It's prophetic, considering what's about to happen. Eventually, Wollmeyer just wraps the whole meeting up. "We're getting off topic," he said. The board votes. They decide unanimously to keep books like If You're a Drag Queen and You Know It or Bye Bye Binary on the shelves. They do concede with the challengers on one point. They will add a few more Christian children's books to the collection. But this wasn't enough for the detractors. They wanted to keep the flame burning. They wanted the gay picture books out of the children's section. Movements need leaders. The group found their mouthpiece in a married couple named Jeff and Tammy Hamby. They're part of a conservative group in Northwest Arkansas called the River Valley City Elders. I tried to talk to the Hambys for this story. They ignored my requests for interviews and the lists of questions I sent them. Jeff and Tammy Hamby first took their objections up at the Quorum Court. They wrote a letter decrying the content of books. And remember this letter because it comes up again later. The letter says the books, and I am quoting, promote alternative lifestyles and make homosexuals seem normal. Then Jeff Hamby testified before the Quorum Court about Bye Bye Binary, the picture book I mentioned earlier.
Ask yourself this question as leaders of our community. Is teaching a child that they may be queer or homosexual or a drag queen the best use of our limited tax resources?
Hamby often posts to the internet and online comments from the couple after the failed attempts to pull books feel like they're ready for bureaucratic war. This is when Jamie Ann Bachman, the library board member you heard from earlier.
We could say, yes, take it off the shelf, and I promise you that...
She stepped down. So did a second board member. They didn't respond to my messages asking why. Now it's January 2023. The library board meeting is here. This is the meeting where they pick the head of the library board. It's Tammy Hamby versus the current board member, Keith Pigg.
It's now 4:38, and I call the meeting of Crawford County Library to order.
Anybody have any nominations for chairman?
Hamby has just enough votes to eke out a win. Hamby, a woman with virtually no experience working in libraries, was now the head of the library board. She has support. The two board members who left were replaced with people who share her worldview. At first, the January meeting of the library board felt like any other. Library director Deirdre Grismala is talking about craft projects at the senior center.
And Bridget and I went to the Crawford County Health and Rehab facility.
Then Grismala presents what she calls a compromise. Yes, we'll move the books. We'll put them deep in the adult section, called the social section. It's a restricted section on high shelves, so kids can't reach the books. These books will have a special sticker.
And if there are any books that we missed, just alert the staff and we can get it switched over.
Grismala says here, this section is just for LGBTQ children's books, but many of the books don't depict gay characters at all. The library gave me the full list. There are over 240 texts, and there's some pretty peculiar additions. One picture book that was moved is called My Military Mom. It's about a boy who has two parents, a mom and a dad, and the mother's in the military. That's the plot. Another book is called Who Believes What? It's a family-friendly survey of different world religions, including Christianity. Perhaps the most puzzling book to end up in the restricted section is about a child with a disability. Like Me is a children's picture book by Laura Whiffler. It's told from the point of view of a kid whose brother has an unnamed neurological condition. It's a Christian book. At the end, the narrator learns that God made everyone unique. These books aren't books about gay people. They're about people who are different. Why are they in a restricted section? Director Grismala couldn't talk to me about this story, so I don't know why she picked this list of books. Maybe there was some kind of strategy here, a point she was making by relocating books no one challenged. In 2023, I drove up to Crawford County and met with the reshelvers, people who want books put back in the kids section. We talked at a coffee shop. They said the social section is embarrassing. They don't like having to go out of their way to browse in that area.
You're putting a target on your back.
Yes.
Oh, I get
or
looks.
Even if you're just standing in front of that shelf, people are going to know, oh, that's a liberal.
In the January meeting, Director Grismala seems resigned to this compromise. But she spends the rest of the meeting exasperated, explaining the basics of collection science to new board members. How does the library decide which books to buy, someone asks?
Merit of the individual item, popular appeal or demand, reviews from reputable professional resources.
In the land of the Crawford County Library Board, the one woman with a library science degree is generally ignored.
Reviewed best-selling materials and sources.
If you right now pulled up the catalog for your local library, you could find a book or two you wish had never been written. For example, almost all big Arkansas libraries have Mein Kampf and works by other members of the Nazi Party, and there's a reason for that. Every librarian I talked to for this podcast had a pretty strict moral code when it comes to collection development. A lot of professions have pre-agreed upon values like this. Catholic priests don't disclose what congregants tell them in confession. Artists don't plagiarize. reporters don't include information given to them off the record, and librarians don't pull books. They are trained in library school to keep books on shelves, even ones they find offensive. It's like their silent professional vow. The American Library Association certifies most library science programs in America. For decades, they've fought for the freedom to read, promoting this idea that libraries are designed to be a public repository for all ideas. But the new members of the Crawford County Library Board don't see it that way. Kaylin Schaefer believes libraries should involve consensus and community input because taxes pay for books.
At the end of the day, all of these people that are saying, hey, this is a good book, that's not Crawford County.
Right.
Brian Meters, the attorney we met earlier, says this idea that we should only have popular books is a silly numbers game.
Well, then that means that the only thing that the library is ever going to have is going to be what a majority, like 51% of the taxpayers want. So 49% of the people are now funding something where they don't get to have what they want.
Remember Gentry Wallmeyer, the lawyer on the political right who said if we move or pull books, we'll get sued?
First Amendment protects everybody. The rain falls on everybody the same.
Over time, he started saying something else. Now he seemed keen on relocations. He said no to an interview, so I don't know what changed his mind. Brian Meters tried to appeal to Wallmeyer's better angels. They're both lawyers, after all. Meters contacted Wallmeyer and told him he was leading the library into an unconstitutional battle, in a war the library probably could not win, something Wallmeyer had literally said in a meeting just a few months earlier. Wallmeyer's response? He called the First Amendment a balancing test between freedom and protecting children.
No, it's not. Like, it's just making stuff up.
Brian Meters again.
Historically, most censorship cases are not outright bans. Censors have tried to justify their bans by saying, well, we didn't ban the book. You just have to jump through all these hoops to get it. And the First Amendment jurisprudence has been really very clear on that. You cannot add administrative hurdles to something based on its content.
The January meeting of the library board quickly descends into chaos. Mid-meeting, Tammy Hamby suggests librarians read every single new book that comes into the system. She doesn't like a new collection policy that doesn't have this language.
The way this policy is written would allow basically any staff member to do book selections.
This would mean librarians would have to read several hundred new books a year, more than most people read in a lifetime. Grismala and a fellow board member agreed, asking employees to read every single book is like that math parable where the king tells his subject to count out every grain of rice before eating dinner.
But that's also like hundreds of books.
In the same meeting, Hamby mumbles she didn't have time to read one of the challenged children's picture books. It was only 32 pages long. Tammy Hamby sits with a sparkling white and purple thermos, her name in decorative lettering on the side, while a lengthy parade of book relocators and book reshelvers give speeches for and against the social section. Here we go again.
I'm gay, and that's why I'm here.
Banning books is the first step of fascism.
Yes.
I hope the citizens' presence here tonight lets the library know that we want our parental convictions respected.
I want to protect my son. I want to protect y'all. Be here.
There's just something farcical about these meetings compared to last episode. The Crawford County meetings feel less serious, a contrasting pageant of pride and homophobia, like the counter-protesters in the Westboro Baptist Church enjoying the opposition. A person who identifies as pansexual asks Tammy Hamby if she knows what the initials LGBTQ stand for.
No, I want to know. I don't know what pansexual.
He told her to Google it, or maybe try reading one of the books. The meeting is unraveling. Hamby tries to regain order.
If I have to call the police, keep your mouth shut.
At the next meeting, Tammy Hamby needles Director Grismala over the library's quote-unquote budget confusion.
You can't just purchase things that aren't in the budget. You can't just spend money that's not in the budget.
Hamby implies that something nefarious could be happening to library money, but evidence is scarce and confusing. Director Grismala sounds tired.
That was before my time, so I cannot speak to that.
So you didn't purchase that either?
No,
what you were just talking about?
I didn't sign any of these contracts.
And that was her last meeting. In February, Grismala resigned with a $40,000 severance package, yanked from the already minimal library funds. When she left, she signed an NDA. That's why you weren't hearing me interview her. She agreed not to say anything about the library when she left. She was replaced temporarily with a former head of the library until someone else could be arranged. Meanwhile, lawyer Brian Meters found two mothers, Rebecca Verdon and Samantha Rowlett, to be his plaintiffs in a lawsuit challenging the book relocations. The suit said the restricted section violates the First Amendment. And while that lawsuit was slowly moving through the courts, there were months where every library board meeting in Crawford County turned into an argument about book arrangements. And so began a never-ending exercise in, where do we put that?
This book is clearly a children's book. Physically, it is a board book printed for little fingers to turn the pages on.
That's one of the plaintiffs, Rebecca Verdon. She's holding up a book called My Family, Your Family. It's by a writer named Catherine Cole. It's almost wordless. On one page, a child stands beside two men and another next to two women. The words say his family and her family.
And the thing that makes them all families is love.
Then the board debates whether a child stumbling across that book would interpret the two men and two women as gay couples. Again, board member Shaper.
That issue, sexuality, should probably be something that the parents.
But he agreed to move the book back to the children's section after Verdon said this.
You mentioned sexualization. So the images of a heterosexual couple with their children is not sexual. But you find that images of same-sex couples with their children is sexual.
One of the strangest debates I've seen at a public meeting was over the next book. British author Simon James Green wrote a picture book called Llama Glamorama. The book is about Larry the Llama, who leads a secret double life as a dancer before learning to take pride in his dancing. It's not a leap to interpret the dancing in the book as a metaphor for the gay experience or for living in the closet. Board member Amanda Stevens wanted it to stay in the restricted section.
Because as an adult reading that book, I know what that book is trying to push.
Both challenges were successful, and the books were put back in the children's section. Like Me, the book I mentioned earlier about a kid with a disability.
Because we should not want our kids to know about other kids that have disabilities.
Verdon tried to get that one put back too, but Hamby ended the meeting.
That's shameful. That is shameful. That's who we are as a community. That is shameful. That's it.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So Like Me stayed in the restricted section. There's one speech that floats to the surface when you listen back, a weirdly academic moment in these endless public comment meetings. A resident named Anne Floyd started talking about a famous essay in library science called Windows and Mirrors. The essay is by librarian Emily Stile. It argues that when you read a book, one of two things happen. You either learn about someone else's life, a window, or you see yourself reflected back, a mirror.
In this essay, she discusses how literature transforms human experience and reflects it back to us. And in that reflection, we can see our own lives and experiences as part of the larger human experience.
Reading. So while some may be uncomfortable with bye-bye binary, for other kids, it could mean the world. It's hard to find authors of these children's books who are willing to talk to me. Just sending them an email was a comedy of manners. Hi, I would say, you know that children's picture book you wrote about gay animals 19 years ago? Well, this small community in Crawford County, Arkansas is trying to put it in a restricted section. Interview question mark? I did get one person to talk to me. Hey, Sarah, can you hear me?
I can.
That's Sarah Brannon. She wrote the relocated book, Uncle Bobby's Wedding. Since it was published in 2008, she's done a lot of interviews about its many challenges. Brannon knew about this story. She had seen articles about the book being moved.
You know, I write books to entertain children, to enlighten children. And the thought that a child who might need or want my book would not be able to read it breaks my heart.
Uncle Bobby's Wedding isn't about a gay couple. It's about a couple that happens to be gay. The conflict comes from a niece worrying that her uncle won't hang out with her after he gets married. Brian Meters used Uncle Bobby's Wedding a lot in his arguments for keeping the books in the children's section. The debates weren't recorded, so I'm basing this off documents that were publicly available. Perhaps the Perry Mason moment in the book relocation case came when board member Shaper was asked this. Would Uncle Bobby's Wedding be inappropriate if the book depicted a heterosexual wedding? Shaper said no. A book about a straight wedding would not need to go to a restricted section. And that was that. There's a concept in First Amendment law called viewpoint discrimination. It's when you say you're moving or banning a book over concern about the children, when actually it's because you disagree with the book's politics. And a judge agreed. In a 10-page verdict, U.S. District Judge P.K. Holmes said the library can make a restricted section, but it has to be viewpoint neutral. And remember that letter the Hampys wrote to the Quorum Court, the one that said the books make gay people seem normal? The judge saw that letter as a confession. The Hampys were outing themselves to be, quote, indisputable violators of the First Amendment. In September of 2024, the books were ordered back in place. Earlier, when Bachman, the board member, said,
tying up our energies and our money in court is not beneficial to any of the children in our community.
She was right. The library lost the battle. Is relocating the same as banning? Maybe. But the court said the debate is a distraction. The case is about discrimination and how you can't make the long river of court precedent go backwards, whether it be Harry Potter or Uncle Bobby's wedding. But this is a Pyrrhic victory. The Crawford County Library is technically on the hook for the lawsuit since they lost to the patrons. They owe over $100,000 in attorney's fees. This is most of their budget. If they had to pay it, it would probably be the end of the library. Right now, litigants are trying to waive the fees. They don't want the library to suffer. They just want the books put back. This is what they talk about at board meetings now. Meanwhile, a new library director came in to replace the stand-in. Wallmeyer, the lawyer representing the library, he was involved in a strange case regarding elder abuse in his legal practice. He no longer represents the library. And then, days before this recording, there was another development. And a warning, because this is upsetting. In November 2025, Hamby was accused of orchestrating a fake kidnapping of her 22-year-old mentally impaired daughter. She allegedly asked three people to help kidnap her, tie her to a tree, and leave her in the dark. The goal was to teach her a lesson, not to talk to strangers online. She'd allegedly been talking with someone pretending to be the country music star Luke Bryan. State documents call it physical and mental abuse. The state's Department of Human Services is now asking Hamby to give up custody of her daughter. Nobody wins here. Fighting the relocators didn't change their minds. Giving in stirred up legal battles. And either way, both librarians lost their jobs. Similar cases are unfolding across the U.S. right now.
Public school libraries across America have become battlegrounds.
Several major American publishers are suing Florida over a law that bans books.
They're all calling for the South Carolina Board of Education to end what they say is a book banning spree.
Listed behind me are the 48 books on that banned book list here in Knox County.
The Harford County Board of Education removed the illustrative novel Flamer from school libraries.
No one community has found an answer. People keep shouting for and against the librarians. The gap widens. The books everyone disagrees about usually stay put. There's a Facebook group for Arkansans fighting to restrict library books. As the conflict in Saline and Crawford counties came to a head, someone posted an illustration. It shows a lone figure facing an endless crowd. A text bubble above their head says, "Yes, you are all wrong." Track One Shelved is a podcast from Little Rock Public Radio, a service of UA Little Rock. The show is hosted by Josie Lenora. Shelved is executive produced and fact-checked by Maggie Ryan. Production help from Daniel Breen. Cover art by our digital producer, Nathan Treese. Editing help from Sarah Buford and Jonathan Seaborn. Special thanks to the Arkansas Presswomen and Nick Kuntz. I'm Josie Lenora.